Greetings and salutations, friends, family, brothers and sisters. You are listening to Across 110th Street Beats with Moses Stoops, right here with DJ Benny L on KRLX 88.1, your FM dial. Tonight we have a special show. It's the last of the spring term. We are graced with the presence of the esteemed French professor here at Carleton College, Sharif Keita. Sharif, welcome.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you. What a pleasure. Wow. We're finishing in beauty, I guess. Yes.
Well, you know, it's been a very hard week in the state of Minnesota, and that's true. And in this country, I should say, and around the world, and we've had a very hard spring on many levels. Sharif had an amazing suggestion, and I think it's important. And we've sort of decided that tonight we are going to dedicate this program to the memory of George Floyd. And also to the struggles that this country is experiencing. And so we are sending love to his family tonight.
Yeah, that's right, definitely. And we hope that, things will calm down and that justice will begin to be done. The victims of, the police violence. And it makes sense to dedicate this evening to the memory of the late George Floyd. And also because most of the artists that we're going to feature tonight are committed artists. I mean, they sing about causes of social justice, not only in their own country, which is Mali or neighboring countries, the Gambia, but also, in the whole world. That's why they take their message of hope, their message of justice on the roads of the world. And that's why it's called today World Music.
Definitely.
So this is some of the artists we're going to be featuring.
And I'll say this show came about for two reasons. The first reason was that amazingly, when I was a student here at Carleton College back 1998 to 2002, Sharif Keita actually changed my life and changed the life of a number of people that were students and friends of mine at the time and still are friends when he brought the amazing Malian singer, Oumou Sangaré, a musician, to Carleton College. And I randomly was very lucky, you know, the stars aligned this spring in a way too, because Sharif and I ran into each other in front of the coconut water, actually, which I was looking for one late night at the supermarket here in Northfield. And we chatted, we basically closed up the supermarket actually. And we chatted about Malian music, West African music, Pan-African music, South African history. You name it. And so it really was a blessing to, I think I mentioned to Sharif a couple weeks later, you know, maybe we can do a show. And yes. Sharif very, very wonderfully agreed to join us this evening.
Yes. So tell us for that meeting. Yes.
So two questions. So two things. Yes. I have a little clip. So we just listened to Salif Keita.
That's right. Playing Africa.
Playing Africa. And I'm going to, let me just, before we talk about Salif, I'm going to play a little clip from an interview that Sharif did. What year was this? Tell us.
It was 1998.
And tell us how this interview came about. Tell us how this came about.
Okay. The interview came about because in 1998, Salif's album Papa, which was again, produced by a friend of mine who lives in upstate New York, Verna Gillis, who invited me from the very beginning as the album was being, conceptualized to be involved in it. And then when the album was recorded, I was the one who translated Salif's Bambara lyrics into both French and English. Wow. So in the summer of 1998, the band toured the U.S. and they came to Minneapolis. So I invited Salif Toumani, who's the kora player, who for the first time had played with Salif on an album. And they toured together because Toumani usually doesn't go out of Mali. Mm. So this time in 1998, he toured with Salif. And then a drummer, djembe player friend, Suleiman Doumbia. So the three of them came to spend the day at my house here in Northfield.
Wow.
And then I had made arrangements with the Paul Hager, who had the NTV, Northfield TV, who also was involved with the college in many, situations in terms of
collaborations, media, documentation.
Yes. So, he said, well, let's do a let's do an interview. So I made arrangement. After we had a good lunch, we went to the concert hall, and the three of them sat there, and there was no audience, just sitting on that big stage, and we just filmed this interview.
Well, I'm going to play a clip from this because I think it speaks to, actually, there's a couple things I want to talk about after this interview, but I think it speaks to actually things that we're going through now as a world.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play about a few minutes from this interview, and then we'll talk about this, and we'll play some more music.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Okay. Salif, you and I grew up in the same village in Joliba. I never imagined that one day you and I would be sitting here in Northfield, several thousand miles away from the place where we grew up. So Salif, you've gone a very long way. You've come a very long way, Salif. You have overcome so many obstacles. You have gone through so many difficulties to be where you are. Could you tell us something about your life as an artist, as a...
You're right, because the beginning of my life was not really, you know, happiness. So, when I was 18, I couldn't continue to study at school, so I stopped it.
Because of your eyesight?
My eyesight.
Okay, because of your albinism,
yeah,
that has consequences on the eyesight.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to find a way to live, not with my parents, because they were poor, so they can't support me. So I take a way to go in a city, big city, Bamako. And then I start learning, playing guitar and singing to me at the same time. And one day somebody come to me and say me, why not you don't come and we build a ruckus,
a band
together. I refused. The three months, he followed me everywhere.
So 3 months you didn't want to see
I didn't want, yeah. So one day, yeah, one of my sisters, tell me, you know, you don't have a choice anyway. Before you find a good job, do that, let's do that. And after, if you find a job, you can move to take it the way you want to. That's why I came in music stuff. And normally, my family doesn't have to do music. It's not our business traditionally.
It's forbidden.
Because...
You know, the caterers are supposed to be the noble, the aristocracy.
So I had a lot of problem over there. But for me, the world have to move, and you have to, you know, to move all obstacles away like this. And for the traditional,
the world has to change.
The world have to change. We love traditional thing, but we don't have to follow all thing, because we have to build the world, new world, all the time. That's why I fight, and now I think I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you more than okay.
I'm okay.
So Sharif, there's a couple of things about this as I reflect upon watching this earlier today.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about Salif and some of the conversations we've had briefly, you know, over the last two times we've talked. And I realized actually, as you're talking about his childhood, that actually it's not just Salif, but there's actually two artists on stage who technically have, physical disabilities in a way.
That's right. Yes. Tumani also has physical disability.
Right.
Because, you know, he has problem with one of his legs. Mm. Yes. And the issue of disability, in fact.
And surmounting.
The latest, that's right. You see, surmounting the obstacle, you see what I mean? And... because again, as Salif said, we love tradition, but we don't have to do all things traditional. Mm. So we need to change, you see. Mm. And Salif became an agent of change in Mali. Because, you know, for many reasons, Salif wasn't supposed to be a musician, he said it. Mm. But because of his disability, his albinism, he wasn't supposed to be in the limelight, because the people with albinism were considered to belong to the world of the invisible, the genes, the supernatural beings. You see what I mean? So Salif was the first musician of his condition in Mali to ask to be visible, to come from the world of the invisible to become visible. And where can you be more visible than being on a musical stage? You see what I mean? Mm, mm. So Salif braved. Oh, Salif braved the scorn of people. I mean, you know, some people had these old ideas in their mind that, you know, people's albinism was worth nothing, you see. And some people even objected to his singing. They said, oh, we're not here to watch an albino sing. Mm. You know, and today, Salif is the voice of Africa. Salif is Africa's best ambassador, you know. So, again, this is really what I say. I tell people, I say, you know, some people sing for the harmony of the notes, of the musical notes. Mm. But some people sing to provoke social change. Mm. And that's the case of Salif, you see.
Beautiful.
He has provoked social change. And also has widened, is opened up the stage, the Malian stage, in such a way that other musicians of other genres found their place on it. In fact, Ali Farka Touré, you know, told me in 1997, when I took the Carlton group, I took the Carlton program to Pau, to southwestern France.
Yes.
And as part of that experience, I took the students to the World Music Festival in Angoulême, le Festival de Musique Métisse in Angoulême. I mean, legendary festival, okay? So Salif was playing there. And that particular night, you had Rukia Traore. Rukia Traore was coming out of Mali for the first time under the wings of Ali Farka. And after the concert that evening, Salif also played. Salif was the headliner. After the concert, we found ourselves, Ali Farka Touré and myself, in Salif's dressing room.
Wow.
And you know, we are joking cousins. There is something in Mali called Sanankunya. It's joking relationship where people of different clans with different last names can make all kinds of fun of each other. They can insult each other, they can disparage each other, but they're not supposed to get mad. They're not supposed to get, it's all in jest. It's almost like they are playing a comedy for the benefit of society to look at. So it really breaks the tension in society, you see what I mean? So that Sanankunya exists between the Keitas and the Toures.
Wow.
So we were joking in Salif's dressing room. And at some point, Alif told me, he said, Salif, let's be serious now. He said, I want you to thank Salif in my name and in the name of all the musicians from Mali for what he did for us. He opened the stage for us. He opened the road to the world for us. And I want you to thank him in our name.
Wow.
It was one of the most moving moments.
Extraordinary.
And Ali Farka by then had become a big star.
He used that
opportunity to thank Salif for what he did. You see? So I believe Salif experience is really, you know, humbling. And in fact, that's the way I approach his life in my book, Outcast to Ambassador. If those people are interested in the English version of my book on Salif's life, it's called Outcast to Ambassador, the musical odyssey of Salif Keita. It's available on Amazon.
I'll get the link. I'll put that up. We'll get the link for that. We'll put that up.
Exactly. So the French edition, two editions came in France that came out with commercial presses. But this one I decided because my friend wanted so badly to read this book, but it was in French. So I decided that, okay, you know, I need to translate this book, give it an English version and just self-publish it so that my friends can read it. So if you're interested, check out Outcast to Ambassador, the musical odyssey of Salif Keita.
So we are in, for, as you can hear already in the first 20 minutes of Across 110th Street, DJ Benny Yao with special guest Sharif Keita tonight here on KRLX 88.1 your FM dial. Sharif and I, we just start chatting and it never ends. We can chat for hours. And so it's amazing to me that you mentioned, you know, you've mentioned now just in this last story of being in France, Ali Farka Touré and Rukia Traoré. And it makes me think, you know, I was gonna first put up some Rukia Rukia song, but then I was thinking Ali Farka Touré. Yes. So let's put up let's listen to a song from his album The Source. And this is a song that actually brings me back to Carlton. I was listening to this a lot when I was here at Carlton. So let's listen to that, and then Sharif and I are gonna come back. We're gonna chat a bit more.
Wonderful. Thank you.
masina kila mijali furaha misana. Murkaba dine mazatara dina gaidado biya ida male padu jaja yem anole ek kashle rawun murme silla jannaja takal tere gazi bazukara muhammad muhammad hazur ishana masina tilami jay pura kama ishana na murkaba ini mazata ina gaidado biya ida male padu jaja yenan wolede ke kejere rawun nurin sila jannaja takal tere gese bazukala muhammad muhammad azurme ishana mazina tilamija ayura kala ishana.
You are listening to Across 110th Street, DJ Benny L, right here on KRLX 88.1, your FM dial, Beats, Ritmos, and Stoops Across 110th with our special guest, Sharif Keita. Don't forget, we rewind this show on Raglan Radio, Irirangi Ofangaroa, down 98.1 on your FM dial, down on the North Island of New Zealand on Thursday afternoons. You know, Sharif, as I listened to that song, it yes. made me realize, I think the only time I've actually seen, I had the pleasure and the grace to be able to see Ali Fakatore is, I believe I might have seen him at the Cedar Cultural Center, actually, in Minneapolis during the 4 years I was here. But the thing I wanted to ask you is, I listened to that song, which is so beautiful.
Yes.
Tell me sort of what he's singing, what he's talking about.
Well, here, unfortunately, Ali is singing in Songhai.
Okay.
A language of the north.
Okay.
But, you know, so I really wouldn't understand this music, but this the lyrics. But Ali, when Ali died in 2006, I was in Bamako. So BBC Radio 3 called to interview me because they wanted to put that as part of a tribute to Ali.
Okay.
Later, they put together a radio program. So I told them, I said, you know, Ali really was a unifier of the people of Mali. Because he sang in so many dialects of Mali. And he opened the north of Mali to the south of Mali. He was really a bridge, you see. And because he sang about love, about unity, you know, about the greatness of Mali as a nation. Mm. Unfortunately, today, it seems that with the rebellion that has been going on in the northern part of Mali, you see, and the Islamic invasion. Mm. So people really have turned their back on Ali's message, you see. You see, because he was really unified, you see. And he felt comfortable in southern Mali, in singing in Bambara, in central Mali, singing in Fulani, in Fulbe language, you know, in towards the north, I mean, Nyafunke, that's where he was from.
Yeah, Nyafunke.
He was singing Sonrai, Nyafunke.
Yeah.
But he also would sing in Tuareg languages, see. So he covered the span, you know, the whole spectrum, you see, of Mali's languages.
So talk to me, you know, I've always wanted, you know, you hear so much about, you know, sort of like the griot traditions of West Africa and, you know, the tradition of storytelling, which, you know, I think of myself as a storyteller. So, you know, and yourself being a documentary filmmaker as well.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about the griot tradition, sort of not just in Mali, but sort of over the, and as we know, I just emailed my students today and talking about how borders are actually a construct.
That is true, you see. You know, okay, one of the legacies of the Empire of Mali is really the griot tradition, the Jali. You know, in Bambara or Malenke, we say Jali, okay? These are the hereditary musicians or wordsmiths. They are genealogists. I mean, you know, they are entertainers. For instance, when there are events such as baptism, name-giving ceremony, okay, or death, or marriage, you see, Jalis, they not only will play music to entertain people, but they also speak to people about the history of the clans, so that two people that are trying to has a future husband and a future wife who wants to seal their union, it's the griots that do the back and forth mediation, and how best to do that is to make the families understand the history, their past history. And bring them together, you know. Their role is not just to entertain; it's also to help shape people's personhood, because we believe that you are born a human. You are born a human being, but you become a person. Let me repeat this: you are born a human being with all the physical attributes of a human being, but you are not a person yet. Your personhood is built through socialization, and we believe that the Jali, the griot's words, the knowledge of history, of your clan history, is what presents to you capitals of examples, of models that you have to compete against to assert your own personhood. Because if you don't know the models of heroism that are embodied in your family, it doesn't matter which family, you know, whether they are you rich or poor. In every family, there are models that you have to compete with. You see what I mean? So the words of the griot and through their music also makes it more, even more beautiful. They can tell you those models. So you as a child, as a young man, as a young woman, you have to rival with those models, so you can assert your own personhood. So you become a person gradually. And personhood does not end with death. Even after death, you continue to be a person, but you become an ancestor. Somebody who continues to inspire society, you know, through dreams, through the model that you represented in your life. So the griot's role is really that. You see what I mean? So it goes beyond the Western notion of just musicianship.
Well, it's interesting. You said there's two interesting things that you say about that, and I hear you on all that. So it makes me think a couple of things. And I wanna now listen. After we talk about this, I wanna listen to the second half of this interview with Salif. And then
wonderful.
Well, we'll first play a song from Salif, and then we'll listen to the second half, and then we'll move on to Umu. But now there's a student actually that is actually I won't mention her name on the show, but if she's listening, she knows who she is because she's working for you. She's working for you. We talked about her. But you know,
yes.
Okay.
She helped me.
Yeah, exactly.
Very much.
And it's interesting because talking about outside of Western traditions, now she's not from the quote unquote Western area of the world. Okay.
That's right.
And I will tell her that we talked about it. She'll listen to this. She'll love this. So I noticed she had liked one of my photos on Instagram, which is great. And I went to check her Instagram sort of profile, you know, which I don't follow her, but she has this amazing line, which I think speaks to a lot of things, and not just when it talks about Western tradition or Eastern tradition, but I think this is important.
Yes.
And I was telling a friend that I think this is quite an interesting thought. And I actually have to talk to her about this now, thinking about it.
Okay.
So she's written something like tradition, that she thinks tradition is peer pressure from dead people.
That is true.
I think that's sort of interesting.
Wow.
I thought that was very interesting.
My God.
Yeah,
that's
right?
So well said.
Right?
It is so well said.
Isn't that?
You
that's
see?
Yes.
It is. We need it, but we also have to betray it. In fact, Salif says.
That's right.
That progress is one generation betraying the one before it. You see what I mean?
Now, okay. Now. So that I'm glad that you said it. So I'm going to play this Salif track. Okay.
Yes.
And then what we're going to do is I'm going to go right into this interview that's in French now for everybody.
That's right. Yeah,
And I'll have Sharif explain what Salif is talking about, because this actually speaks, this second half of this interview speaks directly to what we're discussing. So let me play this song from, this is now, we're about to play a Salif and Bobby McFerrin, beautiful, beautiful collaboration.
Yes.
And then we'll go into the end of this interview here. So this is a track called Simbi off the album Tale.
That's right.
Singing,
on to many places after Mali. You went to Cote d'Ivoire, to the Ivory Coast, where there was some kind of music business. So you were able to learn the show business. And from there, you moved on to Paris. Okay. And you became almost like a spokesperson and porte-parole for the immigrant community in France. So could you say a little bit about your experience living as an exiled person living in France and having to speak for the men and women who were being mistreated, maltreated by, you know, the police, the immigration, and so forth?
Je vais dire ça en français. Et quand je venais en France, il y avait peut-être un mouvement pour la musique africaine. Et c'est pourquoi d'ailleurs je suis venu, pour représenter quand même, avoir une part dans, parmi les artistes africains en Europe. Donc on a assisté à toutes sortes de choses. De concerts, c'est-à-dire faire connaître l'Afrique et faire montrer l'Afrique sous tous les plans, que ce soit plan artistique, d'autres arts, ça, la peinture, tout ça. Il y avait un amalgame d'artistes ensemble. Évidemment, on s'est frotté à pas mal de problèmes. L'immigration, il y avait une partie de la France qui voulait qu'on soit là, il y avait une partie qui ne voulait pas qu'on soit là. Ça, c'est des. Ce qu'on appelle les fachos.
Oui, le Front National,
le Front National avec Le Pen et puis la droite aussi qui toujours fait tout pour nous écarter, pour qu'on entre dans notre coin.
Pour qu'on retourne au pays.
Ouais, dans, on retourne au pays. Or, pour nous, si le monde est maintenant ce qu'il est, c'est que les Noirs ont quand même une très grande partie. On a tous le sang souffert, nos parents ont été enchaînés. Et
à l'époque
de l'esclavage, la colonisation, on a beaucoup souffert, quoi. Donc il n'y a pas, de raison qu'on n'ait pas notre part de gâteau dans le bonheur. Donc c'est pourquoi on a lutté pour rester. Et donc on représentait la communauté noire, montrer la tradition, montrer que la chaleur humaine, c'est tout ce qu'on ne peut pas avoir avec le fric. Et montrer que les Blancs, ils ont travaillé, c'est vrai, ils ont travaillé, ils déchirent les ventres, ils les recousent, on se lève, on
leur
se promène.
Leur science est très
puissante, ils font voler de la ferraille et de l'avion, on monte dedans, d'accord. Mais ce qu'ils n'ont pas pu créer pour qu'on achète, c'est la chaleur humaine. Et nous, on l'a, naturellement. Donc, on a voulu s'imposer. Il y a d'autres qui nous ont compris. Il y a d'autres qui n'ont pas compris parce qu'il y a un proverbe qui dit que seuls les imbéciles ne changent pas. Donc les imbéciles, on les a laissés et ceux qui ne sont pas imbéciles nous ont compris.
Ah, Sharif, so talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was telling Salif a little bit about his journey from Mali, you know, when he first started music. Mm. And then towards the late 70s, he moved to the Ivory Coast. Abidjan, the capital of the Ivory Coast, was becoming really a big hub for musicians. And so from there, Salif gained even more notoriety at the African level. And then he moved on to Paris. So because, in fact, Paris, as I say, was also becoming the capital, really, of this new music, you
sure.
see. And under the France, under the leadership of the social regime of François Mitterrand, and his Minister of Culture, Jack Lang, who really promoted African music a lot. In fact, you know, when they celebrated the bicentennial of the French Revolution.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so the African musician played a big role in that.
Interesting.
Because François Mitterrand wanted, you know, to show this brotherhood, la fraternité,
right,
as part of the you know, the motto of France.
Mm.
So musicians such as Salif played a big role, and I should pay tribute to one who just left us, Manu Dibango.
Ah, Manu Dibango, of course.
That's why. Who was the older brother of all these musicians, because he was already in France. You see.
Yes.
So he held the hand of people like Salif, Mori Kanté, who also left us. Mori Kanté from
Guinea. Yeah, very recently.
Yes, he just left us about not even 2 weeks ago.
From Guinea?
So all these musicians, he says that, Mori Kanté died just 10 days ago.
Just 1 week, 2 weeks back.
That's right, exactly. So Salif says that it was important for them to be in France because they wanted to show really what Africa represented in terms of human values. Mm. And he says that, of course, there was a lot of resistance to hostility to African musicians being there. Mm. But they say, we are not going to go anywhere because France, you know, our contribution to France is here to for everybody to see. Mm. And our contribution to world humanism, the values that Africa can contribute to the world cultures, is also very precious. He says that, yes, the West has a very advanced science, but he says the only thing that the West has not been able to invent yet is human warmth. Human warmth. He says Africa has that, naturally.
Yes. Yes.
So he says that's why they insisted to represent African culture in France. Hmm. And in fact, Salif became also a spokesperson for a movement called in France SOS Racisme. Hmm. SOS Racisme, yes, is an anti-racism movement. Hmm. By Alain Désir, you know, a young man at that time from Martinique, mm, who was the leader of that movement. So Salif's song, Nous pas bouger, We Are Not Budging, mm, became an anthem for the anti-racism movement in France. Mm. You see? Mm. So that's what Salif was trying to explain. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is really the you know, the sort of the paradox of this whole this whole circumstance of colonialism. I mean, so many paradoxes, but it just makes me think about,
yes,
you know, how you know, these Western countries, obviously, you know, for hundreds of years have gone into to all over the world for that matter, and just have taken so much and haven't
plundered.
Yeah, plundered, you know, and haven't, you know, and in fact, now I think, you know, I mean, there's so much that, you know, I wish, of course, you know, the France and England and so on and so forth, looking and instead of taking, actually, like, you know, learning from.
Exactly. So I think that's artists like such as Salif, you know, Ali Farka, Mori Kante, you know, up down to the young ones, Fatoumata Diawara and all these people, they all are trying to represent Africa, you know, to show African humanism, you see? And that's very important. In fact, the first song we started with, Africa, which came out in 1995, and Salif toured Carlton. Salif came to Carlton in 1996. He was touring with that album.
Wow.
You see, Africa, okay? Mm. So Salif started singing about Africa in a sense, he was telling people, you know, Europeans don't want us. They're making it very difficult for us to come to Europe.
Sure.
So now that Mandela, you know, as you know, South Africa is free.
Yeah.
Let's go visit Mandela's country. Mm. Let's go to Gabon. Let's go to Ivory Coast. Let's go to, you know, to Nigeria, because Africa has beauty. Mm. So let's discover each other. And this is one of the problems today. Africans tend to know the outside world better than they do their own continent because of all the colonial barriers that you find in education, that you find even in communication. Mm. I mean, it's easier. Things are changing a bit now with some African airlines that have started. But 10 years ago, it was easier if you wanted to go, for instance, to a country like Tanzania.
Yeah,
you would have to go through London first
to come back,
and then fly from London to come back. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
you see.
Yeah.
So because everything tended to go through those European capitals.
Yeah,
and in fact, they even said that if you were giving a phone call, the phone call will go through Paris first.
The routing.
That's right.
Yeah, the routing. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
You see, so Salif is trying to say, you know, let's try to discover our own continent. He says, if you want rhythm, Africa has it. Mm. If you want food, Africa has it. Mm. If you want, you know, just hospitality, Africa has it. So between the song about saying we are not going to budge from Paris or from France to Africa, you can see Salif's, the evolution of Salif's thought process. Mm. He became more of a Pan-Africanist, you see?
Well, it makes me think of two things in talking about this. One is, you know, I want to bring it back, of course, to, we have to bring it to Umu before, you know, before this broadcast.
Right.
We're going to go past, by the way, we got about 15 minutes left here in this broadcast.
Okay.
We're going to go past this.
Sharif
and I are going to keep talking, keep playing some music, and you can catch up on the recording, on the podcast. Yeah. We'll put that up pretty quick after the show. But it makes me think of a couple of things. We got to get to Umu before the broadcast.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
But, you know, and so, you know, talking about learning about Africa, talking about, you know, talking about this journey, you know, as, again, was it the autumn of 1999?
Yes, I think so. Spring of 1999.
Okay, so in the spring of 1999, we heard somewhere through, you know, this is before really we were using the internet. I think we got some, some mailing in our post box in Sale, and it said, you know, it's Saturday night, Friday night, whatever night of the week it was. It was a Wednesday. You know,
it was a weekend, I think.
Probably. This Malian musician Oumou Sangaré is going to be here at the concert hall. And you know, I have one memory of that. Yes. I mean, I have the whole concert. I have a memory, but there's one that stands out. Is I remember she played one or two songs.
Yeah.
And her, you know, her English has actually never been too good, even now.
No, even that's
that, you know, okay. And I remember she played one or two songs, and everybody was sitting. Okay.
Yeah.
And for everybody who was there, I'm sure everybody remembers this who's listening now.
Yeah.
And everybody was sitting, and after one or two songs, she looked at the crowd, and in her sort of like very, you know, loving but also snazzy, like sort of like, because she can be a little bit, she can tell you what's going on. She said, "Listen, I'm not going to play any more songs."
Yeah.
Something like, "I'm not going to play any more songs unless everybody gets up and dances."
That's right.
And in a very Carlton inclusive way, for the next hour and a half, we were just boogieing, Cherie.
That's true.
We were boogieing.
People were dancing on the balconies.
Yeah.
In fact, the music department told me, the chair of the music department, that they were really worried because they had never seen the concert hall so packed.
Yeah.
People were hanging from the balcony.
Yeah.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So let me play. I'm gonna play a little clip. We got a song that Sharif shared a little video clip. I'm gonna play a song from that. We're gonna talk about how this concert came about, and then we'll end up the broadcast with another Oumou song, and Sharif and I will keep going. You are listening to Across 1/10. I'm DJ Beniel. We got special guest Cherif Keita tonight on Beats, Ritmos, and Stoops, KRLX 88.1 on your FM dial, on the Rewind, Irirangi Ofangaroa, down in Aotearoa, 98.1 your FM. This is Oumou Sangaré, Carleton College, spring continue. across on your attention. DJ Beniel, right here, B Trip Mosin Stoops on 88.1, your FM dial, KRLX. And we have special guests, the esteemed professor, French professor, Sharif Kitai, with us here this evening. Sharif, that was,
amazing.
Umu, every time, every time. So, you know, talk to me about how this show happened, you know, I mean.
Yes, how this show happened. I had met Umu Sangare the first time she came to the U.S. It was for a mini tour, and she appeared at Walker. And then a couple of years later.
Walker Art Center.
At Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. Yeah. In fact, I served as a translator over there on that stage.
Yeah, what happened? So then, you told me that story, but what happened? It wasn't something about they didn't have a translator. What? Tell me about it.
They didn't have a translator. And she was so frustrated. As we said, English was never good. So suddenly I'm sitting in the room and I start walking down towards the stage, speaking Bambara to her.
I love that.
She could not believe it. Yeah. She just gave me a big hug and kept me next to her. And I translated every word she said. She was so excited. Anyway. So 2 years later, you know, this Canadian promoter had decided to organize a full tour for Umu Sangare. Mm. And Carlton, of course, I got the money, I jumped on it. And then he called me a few days, he said, listen, I want you to do me a favor. Yes, there is a gap in Umu's tour. The gap falls on the time she'll be at Carlton. Mm. Would you do me a favor and take care of the group for 3 days? Can you imagine? I mean, what a gift. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I said, oh, no problem. So I made arrangements. You know, we had, lodging for them, food for them. So Umu's first tour, she spent 3 days on campus here at Carleton. Her musicians were playing frisbee with the students. I mean, you know, they even played djembe it was just amazing. Yeah. So I felt that this came at the most opportune time because I was getting ready to take the Carleton students to Mali.
Wow.
So all the students that went with me to Mali in 2000 had seen Umu Sangare play on campus here. You see? So it was just an amazing event. Anyway, so Umu, again, to tie Umu and Ali Farka Touré and all these guys, they were all promoted by, their label is called World Circuit.
Yes, I know it. Yeah, World Circuit. It's great. Exactly. Great label.
Yes, Nick Gold. Yeah. Nick Gold, wonderful guy.
Great label.
Yes, I had dinner at Nick Gold's house in January Britain. 2016 in London. Yes.
In London, yeah.
Because I played two concerts with Trio Dakali.
Trio Dakali. Yes.
At the British Library.
Wow.
You see, because there was an exhibit called West Africa Word, Symbol and Song. So a performance I had done with our Kasimadi and Lassana Jabate in Nova Scotia in Canada was included in the London exhibit at the British Library. So the British Library contacted us to say that they would like us to play two shows during which we played the Epic of Sunjata, for which I was the translator and the narrator. And as we were in London, our first night, Nick Gold invited us to dinner at his house. So Ali Farka and Umu Sangare, they were all promoted, they were all put out on the world stage by World Circuit. A great label that did wonderful things, you know, for Malian music. And thanks to also my friend Lucy Duran, who teaches at the SOAS, the School of Oriental and African Studies. She's an ethnomusicologist.
SOAS, yes, in London.
Exactly. So she's a good friend of Nick Gold. So and Nick is the one who put out Ali Farka Touré's album, The Source.
Love
and
that.
All of Ali Farka's albums were put out by Nick Gold. And if for that particular album, The Source, Ray Cooter,
yeah, of course, of course.
Yes.
And he was with and he went down for Buena Vista too.
Yes, he did Buena Vista, that's right. So Ray Cooter brought Clarence Gatemouth Brown, the blues guitarist and the blues violinist. So they're all on that recording. It's just amazing.
So listen, everybody. You are listening to Across 110, B Trip Mosin Stoops, right here on KRLX, 88.1 FM. I got the esteemed French professor, Sharif Kitai, here. And we are about to unbroadcast because the next show is going to come on. As you know, regularly, they just cut us off at 9. We're going to play some Umu right now. Stay right here. listen to this podcast. We're going to put this up right after the show. And keep an eye out for when we're going to do the next show. I'm going to get Sharif to come on again in the future, even if I'm not here in Northfield. Cross 110th. Thank you so much, Sharif. This is Umu.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Thank you to our listeners.
Maria, Musa.
You are listening to Across 110th Street, Live and Direct with DJ Benny Yell, right here on Beats with Moses Stoops, 88.1 on your FM dial, KRLX, and on the repeat Thursday afternoons down on the North Island of New Zealand, Irirangi o Whangaroa, Raglan Radio, 98.1 on your FM dial. Sharif, that's one of my favorite Umu Sangare tracks. Talk to me a little bit about that. I mean, I just love that song.
Yes. In fact, I was saying that, you know, this song is very pertinent to the situation we're living right now. Because in this song, Umu is calling on different people working in different lines of activities, different lines of work, saying that you have to respect other human beings in order to gain trust, in order to gain honor. And she particularly mentions police people, police, you know, policemen and women.
Wow.
Say, you have to treat people with dignity. That's the way you're going to gain trust. So, and again, you know, we started by dedicating this program to the memory of,
George Floyd.
Mr. Lloyd.
Yeah.
You know, Floyd, you're right, yeah. Right? Who passed on, you know. So, and now we are listening to Umu really saying that, you know, people whose job is to protect society have to treat others, human beings, with dignity, you know. So that's the only way they're going to gain trust. So I really hope, again, that you know, the people of the world hear this message and treat others with humanism, because we are all human, above the different colors, about the you know, beyond the borders and so forth, the creeds, you know, we have this in common. We are all human, so we should let humanity shine, and that's why I, in my own teaching at Carleton, yes, I can talk about, I mean, the whole day about Mali, about Malian values. But if I bring artists to play the music, to sing, I mean, what better illustration can I find to my, a compliment to my teaching on campus than the work of artists? You see, that's why over the years I've tried, whenever I got a chance, to bring different musicians. I mean, I can't even count how many musicians, not only from Mali, from Cameroon, from the Ivory Coast, from South Africa, from the Gambia. I brought musicians from all these places, you know, because I believe that, you know, they are teachers like I am. So, well, their work is very important.
Well, it's interesting. You know, Gug, I've always sort of thought sometimes, I mean, I don't want to sort of like paint a broad brushstroke here, but I think that sometimes in the academy, you know, in academics, we forget that actually teaching can be outside of this sort of structured university setting, and actually the teachings that we can integrate, you know, in fact, I feel that there should be much more dialogue between professors and farmers, even policemen and professors and farmers and people on the street, you know, so that there's understanding, you know?
That is true. You know, the ivory tower, we have to avoid that. We have to come down from that. And, you know, Carleton, fortunately, doesn't suffer too much from that.
That's right. That's right.
I feel that I feel so blessed to be at a place like Carleton. And the musicians that come to Carleton, they say, you know, this, they always say, this is the best hospitality we've ever had anywhere in the world. Because you see, usually when they go play outside, they play in clubs. And that can be very anonymous. But when they come to campus, students are very adventurous in their musical taste. They're always ready to explore. You see what I mean? Well, so they have a hunger for this. So musicians are blown away by the reception they get, you know, from Carleton audiences. In fact, they keep telling me, whenever they see me in Mali, they say, when are you going to invite us again to come to the campus?
Who wants to come to rural Minnesota?
I have that burden. I have that burden that I'm carrying whenever I go, you see. So request to come back, you know. But also I want to tell you that Umu, I have to thank her for a number of programs I did at for Carleton in Mali. Umu would always take one or two of her musicians. They come and sing at my house.
Wow.
And in fact, she told me once, she came, she had a cold and so forth. She said, you know, I said, you know, you could have stayed home. She said, Sharif, even if you call me, even if I'm on my deathbed, I'm going to come and play for you. So, which was such a great honor for me, you know. And again, it's because of the hospitality that they get on the Carleton campus. So I should thank Carleton for giving that face of America to the outside world. Well, it's a very friendly face, you know.
Well, I'll tell you something. It's interesting. You know, I had not been to Northfield or to Minnesota in about 20 years until I ran into Cub Foods. You know,
and
as I saw friends over these last two decades, people would ask, you know, we would always say, like, I wonder what Carlton is like now.
Yes.
You know, like not knowing. And I'll tell you something. It has been such a blessing to be here this spring. And I have been so grateful and not even surprised, because I'm not even surprised, just like happy to realize that, in fact, Carlton students still are incredibly interested in the world. Incredibly interested in culture and learning and creativity. And I think it's really special. I think this institution is actually still an extraordinarily special place.
Remains special.
Yeah,
that's
I really do.
And it's this kind of experiences that, you know, we are able to provide to our students. I mean, you know, when I take students to Mali, when I used to take students to Mali, I mean, we were attending so many musical events, you know, both concerts and, you know, command performances. And all kinds of, you know, you see, we go to festivals. Festival in Niger, you know. Oh, in fact, that's one of the highlights of the later programs, the festival in Niger in Segou. And in fact, we have a little bit of recording by Baseku Kouyaté. Remember, you wanted to play.
I have this, actually. We probably, can listen to some of that.
That's right. See what I mean? Yeah. And this was a performance on my roof, the roof of my house in Bamako.
Wow.
You know, so it came one day at 1 p.m. We were sitting there with the students. All sitting on mats, and he brought his son, who is also part of Tuyo Dakali, Mamadou Kouyaté, who played the Ngoni bass, and he plays the, you know, the solo Ngoni. So they came to play for my students. It was just amazing.
Well why don't we listen to a little bit of that right now? This is
let's do that. Yes.
This is from
2012.
This is you will only hear this here tonight on Across 110.
That's right. Only here.
Moses Stoops, you are in for a special evening. This is a live recording of Baseku Kouyaté on Sherif Keita's roof in Bamako, Mali in 2012.
Okay.
Yes. Hey. You are listening to Across 110. What happened here? We got cut. We got cut. How long ago did that happen here?
Oh, maybe about 2 minutes.
2 minutes ago?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Wow. Interesting. All right. So that's unfortunate. What can I tell you? These things happen here. These things happen in this Zoom world.
That's right.
You know, I had gone to quickly go back and just check on something else here in the house. And we went quiet for a second, but we're right back.
Yes.
Not a problem. Yeah. So what happened? Just cut there, Sherif?
It just cut in the middle of the song, towards the beginning of the song, really.
Okay.
But what you can do, if you want to play the last part of the recording, we're listening to a song where the students are singing, you know, you know, together.
Let's bring this back up. I think what happened is it had loaded.
That's right. Yeah.
We're back.
vous allez voir. Chantez après je vous donne la parole. Pas de l'alcool. Pas de l'alcool, mais c'est vous. Je vous donnerai.
FM dial 98.1 on Iri Rangi Ofangaro on Thursday afternoons. We have Sharif Keita, the French professor here at Carleton College, Malian French professor. And, you know, I'll tell you, one of the issues with this show we have tonight is that when Sharif decided to said he agreed, I should say, because he's a very busy man, even here in small town Minnesota, when he agreed to join us this evening, he had given me a few suggestions of songs to sort of bring into the conversation. And then, of course, I went crazy and started choosing all sorts of Mali. So I have 2 hours of music,
that's right,
which means that we got another sort of 3, 4, 5 shows in our pocket here going
that's right
forward.
Yes.
You know, and I was just going to say, Sharif, you know, this is the last show of of the spring term, and KLX is sort of closing down for the summer. And I would just say it's you, your presence on the show is sort of such a blessing to have you here tonight.
Thank you. Oh, what a pleasure.
And, you know, we are going to actually, this show is going to sometime in June, it's going to migrate, as we all do in our lives, to this community radio station down in New Zealand, where we'll be broadcasting live for that community, but then also around the world. So we'll bring you back on.
I had a good friend from Whanganui.
Whanganui, yeah, of course.
Yes, in London in the 70s.
Really?
I had a very good friend, Robin Payne.
Okay.
Who was from Whanganui.
Really?
Yes, but I never made it to New Zealand myself.
Oh, you'd love it. Yes. It's beautiful.
Yes. And another good friend of mine, he's a Carl, who went with me to Mali in 2008, Shane Auerbach.
Okay.
Is also from New Zealand.
From New Zealand.
That's
went,
right.
And so went to Carleton.
He went to Carleton, yes.
Wow.
Yes, he's, you know, is now living in California.
In California.
But
wow.
Yes, yeah,
wow.
Exactly. So I'm hoping to make it one of these days to, you know, New Zealand, Australia, and place like this.
Well, you know, a number of the musicians that we played this evening, I know Umu has been down there. She
yes.
played, because, you know, they have WOMAD goes over there.
Yes, WOMAD, exactly. That's right.
She's
big put, musical event.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know,
right.
we're going to play a couple more tracks. I think we'll play a couple more tracks, and then we'll wrap up this show, and we'll save this for some months down the line. Sharif will just show up one day. Who knows where I'll be? Sharif will be. I'll be. Who knows? You know, on the South Island of New Zealand. Sharif will be in the you know, by the river in
Mali,
in Mali,
Niger River.
He'll be at the Niger River on his roof with, you know, who know, he'll have Rai Kuder will be on his roof with Salif and Umu, and
that's
who knows what.
Yes,
and we'll do a show.
It's a small world. Yes.
So you know, I have so many musicians here.
I mean,
Sharif,
we could go on for the rest of the night.
I can choose somebody. You can choose. I got, you know. Should I just pull a song up here?
You wanna try? You wanna try Sona Jobate from the Gambia?
I have that.
So she's an extension. She's a part of the Mande world. You know, because in fact, she's Tumani's Jabate's cousin.
This is Sona Jobate from Gambia.
She's from the Gambia, that's why.
Okay.
Yes.
I have this song, Muso. I'm not sure.
Yes. It's a song about women, tribute to women.
Okay. This is off her album, Fasia. We're going to play this and we're going to come and chat about this right after.
Yes. Yeah.
Sababule,
That was Sonia Diabate, and we have Sharif Kita, as you know, this yes. evening as our special guest. So talk to us a little bit about, I have a couple of questions I want to follow up with you on that, but talk to us a little bit about, I know you have a sort of a working relationship with her that you had mentioned
yes,
to me.
That's right. In fact, the title of her first album, Sona's first album, Fasia, is from me. It's from my writings. She read some of my writings about family identity in Mali, in Mande world, you know, among Mande artists. And was very curious and looked for me and found me at Carlton and, you know, on the internet and emailed me and told me that she was trying to, as a biracial person, as a bicultural person, her mother is British, her father is a Gambian from the Griot, a very well-known Griot family in the Gambia. So she was classically trained at the conservatory, but she was also trained, you know, by her father as a kora player. So when it came time for her to do a first album, she was trying to really conceptualize it as a way of finding her own place within a family lineage. So having read my writings about family identity, Fasia, that's the term. So she decided to communicate with me to help me, to for me to help her understand.
So she just emailed you out, she emailed you out of the blue?
Oh yes, out of blue. And then later found my phone number and called me. And in fact, she, when she came to Carlton, last year, it was very funny because she told the story to people. She said that usually when we read about people who wrote about the Mande world, they tend to have been dead already. But when I tried to do this research and found that this man was alive, I latched onto him. And this was the first time we were meeting in person. After she had produced her album, she thanked me on the album, on, in the liner notes and everything, for what I did for her to really help her find a place within a family artistic lineage. So that was quite interesting.
So what do you and think, you know, I was going to ask you this, you know, because a lot of the music that we've listened to tonight, and I might be wrong, I actually might not know what I'm talking about, but I was just going to say a lot of the music that we listened to tonight, for example, Salif and Umu, and now, you know, the musician we just listened
Sona
to.
Jobate,
Sona Jobate, right, exactly. You know, she's, I feel like she's younger than these other two musicians.
You
know, much
she
younger.
And
and again, I feel like, you know, musicians like Umu and you know, Salif, you know, I guess the new generation where, you know, of these Malian musicians and, you know, where do you feel like, how do you, you know, where do you feel like they're going and, you know, sort of the next generation, is there a next generation sort of emerging and, you know?
Yeah, there is next generation, somebody like Fatoumata Diawara.
Yes.
Who is probably maybe the same generation as Sona Jobate in the Gambia. Okay. You know, and, you know, there are others who, you know, they're still very much involved in social, with social issues. The condition of women, you know, and this song, for instance, that Sona just you just played is a tribute to women for to for all the all everything they endure to bring us into the world, to give us life, and to in the marriage. I mean, very often we have polygamy, and polygamy is something that Umu sang a lot about because she said her own mother suffered a lot in polygamy.
Yes,
and you know, and so women have to be, you know, saluted for that. And coming back to you know, a child attachment to a woman. You know, we all owe our existence to a woman. And coming back again to Mr. Floyd, you remember when he was being crushed to death by these heartless policemen? You remember who he called? Who did he call?
Yes, his mom.
He called his mom.
Yes.
He called his mom.
Yes.
Because truly, we are attached to our mothers. Umbilical, the umbilical cord, the biology is there to tell us.
That's truth.
That
that's true.
It doesn't matter how old we are. We are the children of our mothers. You see? And that we have no doubt about that. So so again, I think celebrating that, in fact, in my language, the word, the expression for SOS, meaning everybody has to save yourself. You have to run away. In my language, you say baby babolo. It means each one, each person is in his or her mother's hands. It means that when the situation is dire, there is no other solution. It's your mother that can save you. So invoke your mother.
Wow.
And that's what Mr. Floyd did.
Yes.
You know, in the last minute of his life.
Yes.
He called on his mom.
Yes.
It's such a moving thing, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the music, that's the kind of value, you know, these musicians are trying to convey to the world. You know, it doesn't matter how big we become. you know, our existence, you know, we owe it to our mothers.
Hmm.
You see?
It's true.
So that's the, you know, yeah. So the young generation is, for instance, you know, you have rap musicians,
sure,
you have hip hoppers, and, you know, they all talk about social issues because, Africa is experiencing, with globalization,
sure,
Africa is really going through some tough times.
Mm, mm.
But also they sing about hopefulness, because this is a generation that is also very hopeful, because they have the internet, they have social media, you see. It has suddenly empowered them and placed them in direct contact with the rest of the world.
Mm.
So they can feel the pulse of the youth in other parts of the world.
Mm.
And it's very empowering for them.
Mm.
So all that is, are things that our young musicians talk about.
Tell me, Sharif.
No, I'm saying that they tour. The internet has enabled so many young African musicians to take their music to the world.
That's right.
To the ears of people like Beyonce.
Yeah.
You know? So suddenly these musicians from their little studio, home studio in front of their computers they are able to take their music straight to the world.
Well, I actually saw, I haven't heard this song because it was like an exclusive release, but I saw that Umu Sangare actually, she did a collaboration with this musician that I know from Brooklyn. And, yes. Even nowadays, like we're doing right now, you don't even need to be present, you know, for good or for bad, you don't even need to be present in the same physical space, you know?
Yeah, that's right. You see what I mean?
Exactly.
So this kind of collaborations really is full of hope, you know? So I think that's what, the new spirit is.
So I'm here with Sharif Kitta. You're listening to Across 110th Street, live and direct, right here on KRLX. Beecher Mosen Stoops, we're about to wrap it up here. Talking about generations, we're gonna play an early song from Nahawa Dumbia. We're gonna come back for a moment. We're gonna thank Sharif, and then we're gonna go out on another song. But we're gonna listen to a short little song by Nahawa Dumbia, live and direct, DJ Benny L, Beecher Mosen Stoops, and we'll be right back right after this track.
Wonderful.
Bongo sa kanika na ye kanato
10 DJ Benny L, live and direct here on Beats with Moses Stoops with Sharif Keita. So Sharif, that yes. song, that's an older song, right?
Yes, older song. You see, Nawa Dumbia was a pioneer in her own right. In fact, she was the first singer of the Buguni region, that is the gate to the Wasulu. Wasulu is where Umu is from.
Yes.
It's between southern Mali, between Mali and Guinea and the Ivory Coast. That area is called the Wasulu. You access that area through Buguni. And Nawa Dumbia, in the late 70s, in fact, it's very strange. I traveled with her between Mali and the Ivory Coast. She and her husband, they had a guitar, and we traveled in the same little minivan, public transportation minivan, from Bamako to Bouaké in the Ivory Coast. And they were not even known at the time. They were traveling to go to the Ivory Coast to sing for some of their patrons.
How long is that journey?
Yes, they were going to the Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
And a few years later, they became popular. They became famous. Huh. I said, wow, I traveled with this man and his young wife on the same little, we were crammed in a little truck, pickup truck that was transporting us to the Ivory Coast. I had gone on vacation. So Nawa Dumbia became the first singer of that area to really bring on the scene a style different from the griot music. The griot music, which is very family-based, which is very hereditary kind of style. Whereas here in the Wasulu and the Buguni area, anybody can become a singer. You see? So musicianship is not necessarily determined by heredity.
Interesting.
And also the styles there tend to be very much based on farming activities. For instance, this style is called Sogoninkou. Sogoninkou means the head of the little animal.
Oh, wow.
Because the dancer is always a very dynamic rhythm. And there is a dancer who does acrobatic things and imitates a little animal, you see? So they call it Sogoninkou.
Wow.
And the Sogoninkou became very popular there in Mali and opened the door for the Wasulu style that Umu plays, which again is an offshoot of hunter's music, traditional hunter's music.
Hunters.
See, it's all played on the harp, the hunter's harp, which is a specific type of instrument. In fact, Salif's song Simbi, which he sang with the...
Father McFerrin.
That's what Bob McFerrin, okay? The Simbi is the Malenke name of the hunter's harp.
Wow.
That's why in the song, Salif is using the hunter's harp.
Wow.
You see? So in the Wasulu, the young people have taken the hunter's harp, which is almost like a sacred instrument. They've made it more secular by singing about love, by singing about everyday issues that young people experience. You see? So that became a whole style by itself. So Nawa Dumbia became the first person in that region to really open up that style to the rest of Mali and to the rest of the world. So there is quite a bit of music history in the songs we play tonight.
Well,
I could spend quite a bit of time talking about the connections between these rhythms.
Well, I'll say a couple things for the folks who have made the journey to come back and listen to this podcast. I will say a couple things. We have so much more music that we're not going to play tonight, We're going to play our next time we get together, quote unquote, here on Zoom or in or on this journey I was telling you with Sharif up on his roof in Bamako and I'm by the Ganges or who knows what's happening. And in fact, not only that, the next time Sharif comes on across 110th Street, I also want to get into some conversations with him about his work as a documentary filmmaker.
Okay, and thank you. I would like to do that.
And also his work in Southern Africa. And we will not only, we'll move not just from West Africa, we'll make our way down to Southern Africa. We'll talk about the musical connections that Sharif has.
Some of the top musicians there are my friends.
Some of the, exactly.
Both the late ones and the living ones.
The ones who are not here anymore and the ones that are still around.
I've had a lot of friendship among musicians in Southern Africa.
Exactly. And I really want, I think people are going to be, very sort of like you know, excited and eager to hear these stories that that Sharif is going to share with us in
wonderful.
At some point in the future about his work in South Africa and the connections that he's made between South Africa and the United States and Northfield and conversations about connections between anti-slavery movements and anti-apartheid movements. That's, it is quite an incredible journey, and we'll get to that when we have Sharif in some period of time the next time, and I'm excited for that next time. So we're gonna end tonight, Sharif, with a short song by Jelimadi Tunkara.
Who also played at Carlton too.
I know.
He also played at Carlton.
I know, and he
with a small ensemble.
And where is he from? Which region of Mali?
He's from Kita. He's from the western part of Mali.
Okay.
Which is the Mande culture in the west. It's the gateway to the Gambia and to Senegambia. So you see the extension of the Mande Empire. You see.
So
music and press connect.
So we're gonna play a track off of one of his albums. I'm gonna not say this. Sigui, is that right?
Sigui. Yes.
So we're gonna play a song off of Sigui, and you are listening to, as always, Across 110th Street, Beats, Rhythms, and Stoops, right here on KRLX 88.1 FM dial, Irirangi Ofangaroa 98.1 down in Aotearoa. We have Professor Sharif Keita of Carleton College here in Northfield, Minnesota, via Bamako, Mali, and your village?
Well, I was born in Bamako, but I grew up my early childhood was in Joliba.
Joliba
is the native village of Sharif Keita.
That's your native place.
That's right.
I
was born in Bamako, but my early childhood was spent in that village.
Beautiful.
So I consider that to be my village, yes.
Beautiful. And so we are going to see you next time. We're going to end with this Jelimadi Tunkara.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rasim. Thank you, Sharif, for joining us.
Merci. Iniche. In Bambara, we say Iniche. Iniche means thank you.
A la prochaine.
A la prochaine. So all the people who went with me to Mali who are listening, Aunisu, Auniche. My greetings to you, Sam Holt, Rosha Foreman, Anna Conker. I mean, I can name them, you know. This was a wonderful group of young people that helped me set the Mali program, and that went on from 2000 to 2012. And those 12 years gave us amazing experiences in Mali.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Rosha, for trusting Sharif with your lives.
That's right.
This is Jelimadi Tunkara.
Yeah.